Everything is Rent, the podcast where we talk about the best musical of all time, Rent, song by song.
On today's episode, we have a very special guest who joined us remotely from New York. You know her from the movie Wild Things, the play Anna in the Tropics, and she originated the role of Mimi in Rent, Daphne Rubin Vega.
Yes! Daphne joins us on this episode to talk about her time in Rent and the song Light My Candle.
I know this can happen. I'm so excited. Oh my God.
We're going to work.
Yes, we're going to make this work. I'm so fucking excited. Okay. Where are you? I feel like we should have this like some shopping music or something.
Yeah, we'll put some elevator music behind all of it.
As you can hear from some of these clips, connecting with Daphne was a little bit tricky. But we figured it out, and we have a great conversation with Daphne about her time in Rent and the song Light My Candle. It's a very special episode. Enjoy!
So, yeah, usually we just start out by asking people's experience with Rent. Yours is, of course, more unique than anyone we've had on the podcast so far. So, yeah, tell us the whole story.
Well, what had happened was I was working... I was in a girl group in the early 90s called Pajama Party. And then we made a couple of albums. It paid the rent. It was awesome. And I was working at a clothing store called Patricia Field. And my beeper went off. And
your beeper?
Yeah, I had a purple beeper. I have photographs to prove it. They're frightening. But yeah, it was like the days of Woodstock and... God, we affectionately called our allies trannies and drag queens back in the day. Like, it was affectionately termed as our transgender allies. And so we were all working together in a store called Patricia Field when my beeper went off and I was asked to audition for this rock opera.
And they knew you from
La Boheme.
They knew you from your band, your girl group.
Well, nobody knew me. I mean, I was, you know, that was the whole thing. What do they call it? The catastrophe of success when you go from nobody to somebody, somebody with three names, you know. But like, yeah, no, I was nobody. I was absolutely anonymous. I was nothing. There was no one. My agent called me on the beeper and said, there's this audition for this rock opera based on La Boheme. And so that's when I went in. And they asked me to prepare a rock song. So I prepared Roxanne by The Police. And I went in there and I met Tim Weil and Michael and Jonathan and Jim Nicola in New York Theater Workshop. And I started singing and I didn't read music. So I just kept going, like we just couldn't sync up, Tim and I. I mean, I was just totally walking in off the street, like knowing how to sing rock and roll, but not knowing anything about musical theater. So anyway, they gave me the cassette. They said, go learn this song. And I did. And I came back and I sang it. That's the sort of short version.
What was the song on the cassette?
The song on the cassette was... a woman whose name I'm so sorry to forget singing out tonight.
So
Jonathan had, there's a part of this that we should acknowledge, which was there was a woman who had done a workshop before I did, like in 1993, I believe, the very first iteration. And so they asked me to sing her version. Because Jonathan had actually sung it for her and for me previously. So they had a woman sing it they didn't have a woman sing it on the cassette. They had already a version of this woman's recording. And so I went home and with my cocky ass self said like, oh no, this is how it should be done. So like I came back and I sang out tonight and eventually after many other callbacks, it wasn't like, oh my God, we found our Mimi. Trust me. It was like, they put me through it in terms of, making me, you know, sort of, I don't know, convince myself and convince the room that I could play Mimi. Mm-hmm.
When they had you in for callbacks, were you ever called in with like other people to like read with
to read with any of the people who got in Rent? Or,
well, you have to understand my relationship with Rent is lengthy at this juncture. So are you talking about at the beginning, in the middle, in the end? You know, because I've been asked to call. Yeah, I've been called in to read with lots of different kinds of people, but that's not true, actually, with a few different kinds of people.
But, so when you were originally auditioning for Rent, like, did you go in with Adam Pascal? Like, did you two meet at a callback, or you met at like the first rehearsal?
No, the first time I went in and did Rent was actually before Adam Pascal with a gentleman named Tony Hoylan. And that was in the workshop of 94, which... Adam came in the workshop of 95. Oh. So, yeah, that's how that happened. Tony Hoylan used to be the voice. Yeah, he was the voice of VH1.
Oh.
And he had this amazing voice. And he just, like, had this dreamy voice. And he would talk like this. He was so fucking cool. That, like, I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be really cool like him. So I would just imitate people and not imitate them like be them, but just sort of try to capture a swagger or an essence that he had, which served me well going forward, I suppose.
Yeah. What did you change? Like when you got the recording of Out Tonight, took it home and put your own spin on it, what was that? What did you change?
Honestly, I don't remember changing. Well, pardon the expression, I put it in me, you know, I put it, the song inside my instrument and body, and was like, how would I do it? You know, how would Mimi do it? If I were Mimi, how would I do this? You know, and sort of breaking it down that way. That was the kind of only way I knew how at the time, was to, you know, take the limited skill set I had in terms of like acting technique, which I had a little bit of, but I didn't have a huge toolbox really at the time, and I just put that into what I thought Mimi was, because I knew this character, and I really, it meant a lot to me to represent someone like that on stage, you know, for many reasons, but to me it was like a great privilege to do it, so I didn't want to fuck it up. And so I really wanted to be sensitive, but I had a limited skill set. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
Definitely. Because I think sometimes people go in and they're like, let me do this correctly. And you said you went in like, let me put Mimi in myself and filter it through that.
Yeah. I mean, I had learned to sing to a certain degree. I hadn't ever had the experience of doing 8 shows a week or, you know, putting that much, you know, saying, okay, it's okay to do this kind of acrobatic dance thing, like, you know, many feet above a stage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you do a lot of singing with your head upside down.
Yeah. So, you know, I truly believe there is no better teacher than experience. You learn by doing, you know, the downside of that is that when you make a fool of yourself, you can do it, you know, in front of a world. And like, so you know what? You get up and you do it again. Yeah.
Cool.
That's what happens.
So you got cast in the workshop.
Yeah.
What was that process like? Where did you all know, like, did you all feel like this is amazing? You know, it's going to be a hit. Were you not so sure?
The first workshop with Tony Hoylan and other characters, Anthony Rapp was in it. And there were others who we know of that, you know, went on to do amazing stuff and were not in the workshop that became the Broadway production. But I knew that this was amazing. It was like, quote, talking to me, man, in every way, shape, and form. At first, it was like I couldn't really read it off the page. But once we all got together and just working with Michael was one of the first people that I ever got to work with that, you know, on that level of professionality that, yeah, I mean, everything about Rent was like, whatever this is, I want to see it to its full capacity. And if you don't like it, like there was like the door swings both ways kind of bravado attitude about it in those days. So it allowed us to be very unapologetic about what we did, because I didn't know about, you know, trying to win the approval of Broadway. You know what I mean? I wanted to win the approval of my peers and people who were being represented in this musical. Do you know? Who I felt like, oh my God, finally there's something that kind of represents them. So, you know, while some people felt totally represented and spoken to, others felt like, you know, can I curse?
Yes.
Well, I don't need to now, right?
if it comes up, you can.
You're welcome to curse as much as you want.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, my bitches. My bitches.
Fuck yeah.
So what changed during the workshop?
What changed during the workshop that went on to go to Broadway? That one?
Yeah, just like any big changes from when you were originally rehearsing it and the version that we grew up with and know and love.
Oh my God, that makes me feel so like legendary, actually, when you say that.
You are. Yeah. You are legendary.
We think so.
That's such a better word than old. Although old, it's just like I don't compute with old unless my ass starts to hurt. But the thing, I think what lots of things. I mean, from the first experience of mine, from my first experience to what you kids grew up with, like songs. Well, songs that belonged to me didn't belong to me without you. I don't know if you knew, it was originally sang by Joanne and Mark about Maureen. Right.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. So like they had this sort of, yeah, they were in their own little sort of world spaces, their own like monologue-ish spaces singing without you about Maureen. And I didn't think it didn't work. I mean, I thought it was fine. But between the first and second workshop, that song was given to Roger and Mimi. And so at that...
I mean, that makes sense to me. Like, the Roger and Mimi love story is, I feel like, the biggest part of the plot of the whole musical.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And so this was part of that discovery. So part of that discovery was exactly what you said. Let's give it to Roger and Mimi. And so technically, I think it was the first... the first ballad I would have sung, the only ballad I would have sung in the show. I had never sung a ballad before, so I had to sing it for them. And I remember asking Jonathan, just, okay, what do you need from me? Like, what's going to sell it, right? It was like, you know, it's really simple. I mean, at that time, it seemed so important for him to be, you know, to give me positive feedback. I think, you know, it's amazing how we underestimate just the gentle nature of, you can do it, you know, you can do it and you will do it. He said, you know, just make me cry. And it was like, okay.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So there was something just colossal and simple about that. So I just did my best to do that, you know? So lucky me, you know? That's how that happened. There were songs, there was this song called Valentine's Day that we can unearth somewhere, but I sang it to Roger in one of my, you know, high stoned, needy tirades. It was like, beat me till I'm black and blue and gray. Draw a little heart, draw a little blood, draw a little, oh no, no, no. It was draw a little heart, draw a little arrow, draw a little blood, the Valentine's Day. It was one of those things. So,
wow.
I can't believe you remember it.
You know, some things are just etched forever. Like, you know, it's sort of branded.
Yeah. So Mimi is like she's a party girl. When you were cast as Mimi, were you?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, not like I was, it was the end of that. I mean, I had had that experience, so it wasn't like, oh my God, I was still a party girl. But there was something about that whole experience that I mean, I partied with the cast. We were tight as fuck, man. We really were. And that's part of that alchemical magic, I think, that in retrospect is like, oh my God, Rent was so amazing. What was it? And it's like, it was just the fact that we really loved each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we really did. There was an alchemical love. Like, we meant what we were doing at the time, and we were doing everything very happily, you know?
Yeah.
We were virgins.
Yeah, you were Broadway virgins, maybe yeah. Other kinds of virgins.
No, 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 honey, not other kinds of virgins, just Broadway virgins.
What was your party like? Like, how did the Rent cast party?
I don't know. Like, you know, after a rehearsal, we'd, you know, call the dealer, get some hookers and blow. And
as we do.
Because the musical theater parties for me were like, you know, you just ate a bunch of chips.
And you like sit around a piano and sing.
No, actually, you know, but Jonathan was like that. Jonathan was totally like that. He would get chips and have a peasant's feast and drink tea. But no, we didn't do hookers and blow. We would just hang out and like have meals. We'd go to Orlin and we'd go to Jesse's house, or, you know, we'd hang out at Jesse's house. We'd just hang out together a lot. There was one time where we went to, and I can't remember the name of that club. Oh, it's called the Blue Angel. Look it up. It was like all that in the day. Like, yeah, it was where there were strippers and like fire eaters. And it was like this crazy cabaret scene. And a friend of mine, Dominic, was actually an MC there. And it was kind of like a place to go. I remember going there and just having my mind blown and going, oh, okay, so that's how Mimi does it. I think it was like on, I want to say Vestry, but it was definitely in Tribeca. It was right below Canal Street. Are we Googling it? I have to find this place. It was like crazy. It was crazy. I remember going there. Anyway, I digress.
So when you got word that it was moving to Broadway, what was that like? Were you all like, yeah, of course it is? Or was it a huge deal?
It was a huge deal. Like, everything was a huge deal. You know, before the cockiness came, you know, I mean, it wasn't like we were cocky, really. We were young, but before the like sort of, oh my God, like this is a lot, was just the total overwhelming joy of it all, you know? Also, you have to understand, like, the great part, yeah, it started to get a little, of course we're moving. Of course this is happening. After Jonathan died, and that was sensationalized. When his death started getting sensationalized, I think I started to feel like, okay, I don't know, when people are seeing this, I don't really know what they're seeing anymore. Do you know? like it's not just about this sort of awesome musical. It's about all these other things. I can't really articulate them. I was so busy having, you know, an experience of my own.
The audiences were seeing it through sort of a filter of, and also the playwright died versus just enjoying it for what it was and watching a musical with people that previously hadn't really been represented on Broadway?
Yes. And like all of the above, like all different permutations of, like, you know, when something's been touched by journalism or critics, is, for example, it's like, it's, you know, somebody has an idea about it. So like if I read, you know, it's just suddenly there is an impression about it that isn't just one's own. Mm-hmm. So I was very aware of the fact that, you know, at the time when somebody was saying to me, oh my God, this is the best thing I have ever had in my entire life, the first reaction I get is like, well, that doesn't mean that it's the best thing I ever had in my entire life. Like, you know, don't tell me what the fuck, you know? And so there was a whole other thing, a whole other reactionary thing, or, you know, kind of arms crossed, chin up, looking down your nose kind of thing, which I was very, or I thought I had been very familiar with, having performed for teenagers in the Bronx and when I was in a girl group. But
oh, that sounds like a tough gig.
Oh, yeah. No. Teaches you a lot. It prepared me for Broadway, actually. So, yeah, that's when sort of like success can become traumatizing if you start to think about what other people think of you. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know because I'm not successful, but I can imagine.
Working my way to it.
I kind of don't believe you.
When this podcast takes off, we're going to be podcast famous.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, you don't have to be famous to have that experience either, right?
Yeah.
It's just sort of a narcissistic thing.
So when it did start taking off, how did your life change? Like, was it, were people recognizing you on the street and things like that?
Somewhat. I mean, I live in New York City, so nobody gives a shit, you know? I mean, it's true. It's like, New Yorkers don't really care. It's other people that might care, and that's cool. I mean, I'm grateful that people might care. They get me confused with Rosie Perez all the time. Still, but it's cool. It's anyway, I don't get recognized that much. I'm totally, or I don't know if I get recognized, but I'm pretty much left alone a lot. People are very respectful, and I don't mind when people are cool, you know?
Yeah, probably the like most insane fans were the people waiting outside the stage door when it was on Broadway for those first many years.
Yeah, well, that was frenzy. You know what I mean? That was just like, yeah, that's a frenzied situation. That's not sort of like every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was cool. I'm not very, very comfortable living in that kind of world.
Sure.
But there are certain jobs that are like, you know, sometimes you just get more attention than others. And that's the business we've chosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Is there anything about Rent about the musical itself that you don't like? Like, is there a song you don't like or a part you didn't like to do?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I loved it so much. I loved all of it. I loved all of it. All the time.
Us too.
Yeah, I mean, you're in good company.
It was such an enchanted experience. Oh, God, I remember my heel. Well, do you know the old... Yeah, I told you my snatch story.
Yeah, that'll be a good segue into talking about the song. Do you want to... Sarah hasn't heard it.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, okay. So there was that, and then...
Wait, tell us the story.
We were doing Light My Candle, and I knew while we were singing the song that like I was starting to go up on the line. Like I started to like have a brain fart and I felt it coming on. And it was just this sort of like slow motion moment where I couldn't catch the next word and we're in the song and in mid song. Because I knew I was going up on the line, I whispered it. So I went, you know, I think that I dropped my snatch. And so I said snatch. Like, it was really weird. And Adam completely, like, I just locked eyes with him. And he locked eyes with me. And we just tried to get through the whole song. And it was like, okay, this is our secret. And like, is there anybody chuckling? Or like, just focus, focus, focus. Just get to the end of the song and try not to like lose it. And so then we did the whole song and I leave the stage. And as I come downstairs, my dresser, God bless her, Jill, she had this brown paper bag. She was holding it out to me. And inside the paper bag was like this makeshift merkin that they had made in like the 2 minutes that I had said the line and gone downstage.
Man, they were ready.
Yeah.
They were ready to make fun of you.
You know, some people on Broadway are so efficient. They were ready. So They brought me my snatch.
I like when I first saw Rent, I didn't know what any of the drug stuff meant. So I feel like I would have been in the dark. I would have been like, snatch, that must mean drugs.
Yeah. Actually, what was it? I think just recently I found a stash. Like, people used to ask me to sign their stashes.
Whoa.
And somebody, like, oh my God, yes. It was just like these little, like these little plastic or, you know, glassine envelopes with flour, sugar, or glitter.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God. All these little packets of sugar that I have signed. Unbelievable.
You just wrote your, would you write a message or just your name?
I would like put heart Mimi. Really not a good message to be sending out there. You know what? Can like, now that I have, you know, the public's attention, I would like to publicly apologize for all that mixed messaging I've been sending out there in regards to the drugs. There's nothing love Mimi about heroin. It's a bad drug. It's got a bad history. It comes out to no good. There's just nothing. Yeah.
I mean, Rent probably single-handedly started the opioid crisis.
Tylenol. Oh my God. Don't tell that to Fox News because they will be all over that shit.
Yeah.
Or saved it. I mean, Mimi doesn't do well when she's on drugs. So
yeah. You know what? You might have a point there. But like, you know, right. The thing is like she did get to live another day.
Yeah.
Right? She's saving people. And in that other day, she got, first of all, she got the right cocktail to fix her HIV status and to regulate it. And she got clean.
Were there was there ever a song that you would like be backstage that you didn't sing but that you like loved? Glory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was so glory. And What You Own. I was always doing some like crazy harmony in the back and doing some like weird like horn section in my brain to like What You Own.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I had like a backstage routine to What You Own. I can't tell you what it is because I really don't remember it. But yeah.
Your brain is occupied with cut songs from the original workshops of Rent. You don't remember this anymore.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, normally what we do at this point is we listen to a track. So we've just listened to Glory with our previous guest. And now, because we're remote, you don't need to listen to it.
Okay.
You're on it.
Yep. You know it,
a million times. And we have listened to it recently. So, yeah, specifically, we want to talk about Light My Candle.
Okay, so because we were recording remotely, we weren't able to listen to Light My Candle with Daphne Rubin Vega.
She knows it pretty well.
So now it's just us. We're going to listen to it and share our thoughts. Here we go.
What do you forget?
Got a light.
I know you, you're shivering.
That's not her name.
And I'm just a little weak on my
Her voice is so not Broadway. I love it so much.
It's perfect.
What are you staring at?
Nothing.
Like, she... She says, like, that's a flirty line. What are you staring at?
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like, I know you're staring at my butt.
I say that to guys all the time.
Just haven't eaten much today. At least the room stopped spinning.
What do you think she eats?
She doesn't eat. She eats drugs. Yikes, Roger.
Yeah. Sorry about your friend, dude. Can I kiss you? It's a real bummer to be like, people always say I look like somebody else.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Oh, this is so sexy, this part. Oh my God.
Where does she like it in between? Her legs?
Legs.
She likes it on her vagina?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wax?
Mimi's a little freak.
I mean, it's going to be... It doesn't sound comfortable to me.
And that's the infamous line. Think I dropped my stash.
Ugh. Can't wait to hear about it.
I'm illin? I'm illin. I had it when I walked in the door.
Yeah. That's like a fun slang. I'm illin.
Your candle's out. I'm illin. I'd never noticed that line before. Have a nice...
I mean... Oh, Roger, you owe...
Oh, my God. Yikes. What a way to reference someone who you just found out died. Your dead girlfriend? That's where I work. I dance. Help me look.
Yes, they used to tie you up. But they don't tie her up anymore. Why not?
Now she dances free. Well, Roger hasn't been in a while.
That's true. Yeah, like 7 months? How long has he been in rehab?
I don't know.
I think 7 months.
Why don't you forget that stuff? You look like you're 16.
Okay, that's creepy because he's
already said that she's hot.
Turned on by her.
Uh-huh. I once was born to be mad.
I used to shiver like that. I have no heat. Ooh, she was a real hustler.
Yeah.
I used to be a junkie. But now and then
I
like to
feel good. I'd be more offended if someone called me a junkie.
Really?
Yeah. Though maybe she's like, I know I'm a junkie, but I'm trying to pretend I'm not.
That was my last match. Our eyes in the dust.
Thank God for the moon. Here comes a great joke. I hear Spike Lee
shooting down the street. Bamba. Great. Bamba. Here's a weird joke coming up.
I love this joke.
I love it too. It is weird. Like my Who father's. Says like your hands are big like my father's?
19-year-old junkie.
It's a real issue. No.
With my father. Hilarious. I love it. They call me. They call me. Me, me. Be funny to have like a Laurel and Hardy moment of like, what do they call you? They call me Mimi. No. Yeah, I know they call you something, but what do they call
what
you?
What do they call you, you?
Very good. All right, now back to our conversation with Daphne.
So we've heard the snatch story.
Did you hear the Change My Diaper alt lyric version?
No.
Oh wow! Somewhere on the planet, somebody wrote, "Would you change my diaper?" And it was a duet between two babies, and it was so it was really cute. And I that was decades ago, so I can't really honestly remember, but it was Would You Change My Diaper was one iteration.
I guess it's a song that really does lend itself to just any three-syllable request.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, now there you go, opening up a can of serious whoop-ass for Light My Candle.
That's right. People can tweet their ideas mm-hmm. for Light My Candle parody.
Make it into a meme.
Would you blank my blank? Would you blank my blank blank, actually, right?
Like, would you feed my rhino?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's four syllables. Yes, it's four right. syllables. Feed my rhino. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Would you wash my monkey?
There are so many options. This song is also super funny, and like there's just jokes the yeah. whole way through, and I feel like a lot of them are built into the timing of the music. But was there also in rehearsal like work to make the humor of the song come across?
No, we had impeccable chemistry. I shouldn't have laughed at my own joke. Yeah. Well, you'd have to ask Michael Greif that.
It's all just sort of in there.
We had good laughs. The dead girlfriend. I love the dead girlfriend and the father stuff. I mean, the beautiful, bittersweet stuff about Jonathan that we can't really have an opportunity to discover is that he was funny as fuck, right? So, and he was smart. He was like ahead of it, you know? So, and truly, the the piece was unfinished. The show was not finished when he died. He was like, it was like the first preview. So, I mean, if you know about shows, the first preview is, can be vastly different from the last preview.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm saying about that other than, yeah, in terms of timing and just the actual craftsmanship of that duet is really remarkable. I'm very lucky I had a chance to sing it. It was wonderful. And it taught me a lot. Yeah, it taught me a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, I mean, Mimi comes in so hot on this song. Like, do you think that she had seen Roger in the building before, or she sees him here for the first time and is just immediately in love with him?
Oh, no. She's been eyeing him. She's seen him. She totally knows who he is, you know? She had the whole, yeah, no, she's been clocking him. I mean, that's the first time they've officially met, right?
Which is such a funny way to meet, to, like, just show up at someone's door and be like, I'm going to meet you. You're hot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's as good as any, right?
Yeah.
It's probably better than most, just like, you know.
It's a pretty good meet cute for these two.
Oh, yeah.
I think she knew that April died. I mean, I think she was around when, like, the cops came and took her out in the body bag.
Mm-hmm. And she is just brutal. She's brutal in this. She's just like, yeah, I don't care about your dead girlfriend.
Look at how hot I am.
She's kind of fronting because, you know, she just wants to get high, I suppose. Yeah. Oh, Mimi.
And I feel like we have to, like, nod to your singing voice in this song because you have such a signature and unique voice, especially for Broadway at that time. Did you think about that?
Not too much. I couldn't think about it too much because then I would start thinking that, like, you know, what's wrong with me that I don't sound like other people. So I would just, yeah, no, I don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think this, you being cast in Rent really, like, underlines its rock musical, rock opera ship, that it's not, like, nice, pristine choir, you know, notes. It is like a real, this is a real person in this, and this is what real people sound like. And it feels raw and real. And I think it really lends itself to that.
Yeah. I mean, some people have, like, there are a lot of people that have choir voices. I don't know. I mean, I just want to be careful that, like, you know, it does make me more real than others or less real for that matter. But yeah, it sure was different. And it sure is. Yeah, I'm really lucky for that.
Did you feel like any of the other cast members were like, we gotta sound more like rockers, like Daphne, or they just kept doing their thing?
No, I think we all kept doing our thing. I mean, Idina has a crazy, wonderful rocker voice. So and Joanne, you know, and Gwen, I think, you know, before you're known for a certain thing, you're just, you know, being you. So I think we're just celebrating who we were. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think having, you know, listened to musicals for my whole life, this is a song that I really sat up and noticed. It's one of the longest songs towards the beginning of the show, I guess, because the show is, you know, in the large part about Mimi and Roger. And yeah, it's just like not something I had heard before.
Yeah. And it's also so charming.
They're actually telling this story. They're like moving a storyline along. Like they're having this dialogue. It's not just talking about something that happened or where my headspace is at, which is sort of what musicals kind of do. It's like, oh my God, I'm having this moment and let me tell you about my moment. This is more like, yo, this is what's happening right now. Let's have a talk. And this talk is a song and the song is what you're doing. Like, do me a favor, you know, give me some light.
Yeah, it's a combination. Like, I guess if there was more dialogue in the show, that's where it would have been like, you know, I'm Mimi and I work at this club as a dancer. And then the song would be Yeah, but it's all some group.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Sometimes I have to remember, it's like, oh my God, this is a rock opera. It's not a musical. Nobody's talking throughout this, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody, yeah. I think somebody says one thing.
Yeah.
Dina's like, I jumped over the moon.
There's a few little moments. Like, I think Mark says, like, I'm going to go to the Life Cafe. Want to come? And like, when you knock on the door at the beginning of this song or at the end of Glory, Roger says,
exactly.
The door.
The door. Oh my God. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Oh, we're still talking about Light My Candle, right? Because there was a song called Door Wall. You have to know about Door Wall.
What?
In Rent?
Door Wall. Oh my God, yes.
What was it?
Door / wall became Glory.
Really?
So there you have a fucking, that's an example of turning, you know, chicken shit into chicken salad right there. You know, it really was, yeah, door wall was like the door, the wall, the door, the wall, something like, you know, like I'm staring at the door, okay. I'm staring at the wall, I can't get out of this apartment. And then Mimi knocks, right? And then Mimi gets him out, right? So how do we get Roger out of the apartment? Well, Mimi gets him out with Light My Candle. But what happens before, you know, after Mark leaves and says, you need to get the fuck out of here, and Roger is stuck, right? So it's about him being stuck. So before the Brilliant One song, Glory, was Door Wall.
That's very fun.
I mean,
there you go. Yeah, that's some dropped off knowledge for your ass.
That's awesome.
I am.
You're welcome.
So glad it became Glory.
I don't know. I like Door Wall.
Doorwell sounds fun, but totally insane.
There's a musical called like Bed and Sofa, where they sing a lot about the bed and the sofa. So Doorwell could be repurposed to go in Bed and Sofa.
Right.
Oh my God, I don't know why that's so hysterical to me. I smell a lawsuit. Door, wall, bed, and sofa. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
What do you think about Glory versus Roger's actual great song that comes
in your eyes
that brings Mimi back to life?
That's a tough one because I love Glory and I think Glory is one of the all time best songs. But when I think of Your Eyes, I think of like, I think of my last performance with Adam in Rent on Broadway before I left the show. And it was the most devastating, experience to have him sing that to me that like, I could start crying just thinking about it. So there's always that, you know, life is full of like, you know, that whole yin yang symbol. Like I get it now that there's a little bit of one in the inside the other, and you can't really have one without the other. And that's kind of how I feel about life. But, you know, I can't really choose one song over another. If I were to do that, I would kind of throw a little bit of the baby out with the bathwater. But that said, if you make me choose, I love Glory. But, you know, Your Eyes, I have a very particular experience of Your Eyes, which is like, it's activating. It's, you know, it unlocks a very happy, sad place, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You know that happy, sad place.
We're comedians, so we live there.
Yep. We only know the happy Sam.
Talk about it. Yeah, like, you know, it's a very important time for that. We need to sort of stroke that happy sad.
You got it.
Would you stroke my happy sad? No, that's
there we go.
That's one syllable too much, but fuck it.
One too many.
We can make it work. Would you stroke my glad sad? Mm. It's not as good, but it, I mean, the syllables. Do you ever go see Rent? Do you see like other people, like other productions of it, or is it weird?
I have. I don't make a point of it. I know that as we speak, they're casting for, you know, there's another iteration of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I will see that version. And yeah, I'll tell you, I've seen the Japanese version. Oh. That was just, it was awesome. It was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. To answer your question, yes, I saw the New World stages. I don't see every single iteration, but I know that there are kids doing it, and I fully support, applaud, embrace, empower them to take it and own it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I really strongly think that it's not really also like, it's nice when people, you know, take what they can from whatever I've left as a legacy, but, you know, embrace the rest and like own it for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, speaking of the legacy of Rent, for our final segment, we would like to take you on a journey for a segment we call Life After Rent and ask what happened to the characters afterwards.
Yes.
What happened to Mimi specifically?
Oh, wow. Well, Mimi actually ran for office in... She did. She actually, she and Roger had a nice run event, and then she got married.
To someone else?
And got a house Yeah, she had to marry someone else. Roger and her, you know, they're still friends. Mm-hmm. She married a guy that was in politics. That was the thing.
You know? Did you meet him through Benny?
But no. She married someone that made Benny look like, you know, vanilla ice cream. And so, you know, she tried to keep it down low to stay legit because she was actually very conflicted about having changed the exteriors of her reality so much. So with, you know, with the privileged life of a politician's wife, she went into public service.
Mm. Yeah.
What was her big campaign?
Oh, you know, anything mother oriented, you know, Latin America, Africa, anything that serves the underprivileged or the underserved or the poor. Mm-hmm. She tries to make sure that people will not abscond with the money. Usually fundraisers like just pay themselves off and like buy really nice bags. She made sure that like kids were getting their, you know, their education's worth.
What do you think happened to Roger after? Did he stay in New York or did he go to Santa Fe or what?
No, Roger actually made a couple of albums that did quite well. You know, he sort of went on to become, he became like Shawn Mendes.
Ooh.
I don't know. He became Shawn Mendes of his time. And, you know, and he married a really cute woman and they had a family and they're doing good, you know.
Yeah. Have you thought about this previously or are you making it all up right now?
Dude, you're asking me. I'm trying to make this up. Why? Does it sound like I've already done like the timeline?
Yeah, it sounds like we're asking and you're answering truthfully in a way that you've
thought about. Well, Roger... I got one better. He owns a Christmas tree farm. And they totally harvest Christmas trees. And so the whole cast of Rent, in fact, everybody gets a tree for Christmas. even Adina, who, you know, like, it's okay. Like, all the Jews get trees. Everybody gets a tree. Everybody gets a fucking tree.
Oh my God. Mark gets two trees.
Yeah. And Mimi keeps asking for an extra tree.
You all get together once a year on Roger's Christmas tree farm, and you all leave with a tree. You have a reunion, you leave with a tree.
There it is. Yeah. Of course, lately we haven't been going so often, but you know, there's always.
Yeah. I mean, because Mimi's upstate, so it's hard for her to get down. She's an important lady.
Yeah. Yeah, is it Chappaqua or Hudson? I'm not sure where she lives.
Ooh.
I don't know. We'll figure it. Chappaqua is good, right? Chappaqua's good. She's close to Hillary. She was big on Hillary. Yeah. Yeah, no, she's hanging out with Huma a lot, actually, after the election.
I'm glad that they're all, like, still kicking,
yeah,
all around.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. Everyone is still kicking. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Maureen and Joanne are still together?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Maureen burned through Joanne like right after the show.
No one stayed together in the whole show?
No way.
Well, Maureen, you don't know, Maureen what married Prince Rainier of Monaco. Right? Didn't she go to No, what did Maureen do? What's good for Maureen? Maureen married we can't really talk about it because people have been, but on the DL, she's having an affair with Cristiano Ronaldo. And
Maureen's definitely like the other woman. Like, she has that vibe. Mm-hmm.
She's got that other woman thing going on. Yeah. Yeah. She's but you know, more will be revealed.
Ooh. Tune in next time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Till the next time, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it was as though you have a book where you've written all of this down. Maybe you should.
I mean, honestly, I'm convinced that you did.
I would publish that book.
Uh-huh.
Just your take on what happened.
You don't know that I don't. You don't know that I don't have this book. I'm going to be on that book. I'm going to be on it. I think that's not a bad thing to do. Oh my God. I see these lines. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh my God. You crack me up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any current projects you want to plug?
Actually, Empanada Loca, which was my solo show that I did in 2015, is turning into an 8-series podcast. It's a podcast series, 8 episodes, called The Horror of Dolores Roach.
Oh, awesome. And you said it's Sweeney Todd-esque?
Yeah, it's inspired by the Sweeney Todd story. The story of Sweeney Todd is an inspiration point for Dolores, yes.
That sounds...
But this is not a musical. It's an 8-part series on Gimlet Media.
Ooh, cool. Gimlet.
Out in Halloween.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah. We will definitely check into that. And
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It was wonderful talking to you guys. That was so much fun.
Oh my God, I had a blast.
Yeah, it was a dream come true to talk to you about Rent.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, take care, ladies.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can email us at everythingisrentpod@gmail.com. And please send us an email for Pete's sake.
Gosh, just email us just what your day's, what's going on. Come hang out. Email us on Instagram at everythingisrent.
Email us on Twitter at everything_rent.
And we want to thank Zach Reno by email for doing our music.
We're going to send an email to James Mulholland as a thank you for doing our art.
And then we're going to email Mark David Christensen. He's our engineer. He's sitting right here. Look for an email, Dave.
Okay. And rate and review us on iTunes, but only say nice things, because honestly, I really can't handle it.
Thanks for tuning in.
Goodbye.
Can I stop recording now?
Hi, I'm Winston.
And I'm David.
And we're the hosts of a new podcast on Campfire Media called Try It, You'll Like It.
And on our podcast, we have our guests eat a food they hate one last time.
And we have so many crazy guests.
We got amazing chefs.
We have killer comedians.
Bakers.
Candlestick makers.
Distillers.
Brewers.
Food writers.
Oh, they're writing about food.
Ooh, they're probably having some food while they're writing about that food.
Because we're eating food and they're eating food and you're listening to It Happen.
All you ASMR hits, enjoy. Chomp chomp.
So check it out every Thursday at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Mmm, that was good.
Campfire.